little boy around the table at home. I remember very well when company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait. They would come to stay a while with us. I would have to slip around and raise a little fuss, in fear that I would spill the beans or break the china plate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait. Death before my time would come. All that chicken they would eat and just leave me the bun. The feet and neck were all that's left upon the china plate. It makes you pretty darn weak to take an old cold tater and wait. Well, taters never did taste good with chicken on a plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All right, happy Saturday. It is Saturday, February 18th, 2023, and time for another edition of Blackbird 9's Saturday Snack Shack. And tonight is episode 12, and we have and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. John Kaminsky. And we're going to kill that beep real fast. Thought I had that turned off. Noob amateur mistake, right? So give me just a second. That will drive everyone crazy real fast. But anyway, so like I was saying, the episode tonight is episode 12, Noticing Patterns with Mr. John Kaminsky. And so we're going to be bringing him on here in a second and see what he wants to talk about. And for those not familiar with Mr. John Kaminsky, I just say, where have you been since 9/11? But he's known to many in the greater truth community as a long time truth advocate, major troll slayer, veteran of the great troll wars after 9/11, noted and decorated hurricane fighter, game theorist and strategist, prolific writer, and once and future radio host, and a man who has probably pulled more enemy and friendly fire shrapnel out of his backside than I have over the years. This is who Mr. John Kaminsky is. So we're going to want to know what he's going to want to talk about tonight, because there's so much going on. So maybe he wants to talk about the weather. You know, we had the weather up here on Blackjack Mountain last night blowing like seven devils, as we say up here in these Appalachian Mountains. And, of course, by morning, it was already up in the 50s and bright and sunny sunshine. But last night, we had 50-mile-an-hour winds and snow blowing sideways, right? But anyway, so maybe he wants to talk about the weather. Or maybe he wants to talk about 99 loof balloons made in China or Israel or wherever they were, and why they shot down that ham club radio. Maybe he wants to talk about that, since I'm into ham radio now. Maybe he wants to talk about all the white genocide parades. We want white genocide in Ireland today. Amazing how many people. It's like, what don't you see, you know, is the problem with this? Or maybe he wants to talk about Daytona NASCAR season starting up. That's a big thing down there where he is. And, you know, can the Calergy plan face of the new South? Bubba Wallace save NASCAR. I saw that today. Maybe he saw that. Can Bubba Wallace save NASCAR? Because, you know, Bubba, I know a white supremacist lynching noose just as much as Jussie Smollett knows MAGA country neo-Nazis. Wallace, and good friend and fierce supporter, Calergy bomb on the Dixie, Namarada Rahanda, or a.k.a. Nikki Haley, can she save America by doing to we the people what she did to South Kakalaki and what Bubba Wallace is doing to NASCAR? And, you know, it's good to know that the good Reverend John Dual Covenants Hagee of Christians United for Israel has the utmost faith in crypto, my fellow Christians, you know, the brown Hillary Clinton, but conservative Nikki Haley. Well, you know, Reverend John Hagee, he loves him some Nikki Haley, and he was sure to bless her campaign in the name of Israel, and you can't get much better than that. I didn't hear too much blessing in the name of Jesus on her campaign, but the sound was pretty bad, and I wonder if they had a diversity hire on the soundboard there. But anyway, so maybe he wants to talk about that, or maybe he wants to talk about toxic train wrecks in the heartland of uppity, independent Amalek America. Literally, Palestine, not Palestine, like Frankenstein. Maybe he wants to talk about that. But anyway, and, you know, how is it that this toxic event just happened to mirror perfectly the Jew anti-white porn cult classic White Noise? If you haven't seen that, it's insane. Maybe he wants to talk about that. Or if he thinks that Antifa, BLM, the SPLC, the NAACP, and the ADL will release statements saying that they support the toxic spill in the heartland of white America because they supported President Donald Trump and they deserve it. You know, just like when that rabbi came out this week and said the people in Syria and Turkey deserved the earthquake because they had it coming because of all the sins of their fascist fathers over eternity. You know, this is coming from the eternal innocent victims, right? And speaking of eternal innocent victims, maybe he wants to talk about Mr. Alfred Shaver getting arrested in Germany again, this time for daring to attend the memorial service of the 1945 bombing of Dresden. Maybe he's afraid he might talk in public or something, but yeah, they rounded him up and was harassing him big time, you know, in his own homelands. And speaking of white men not being allowed to speak their own minds in their own homelands, much less, you know, offending the replacement population invaders or their Jewish handlers, maybe he wants to talk about the new anti-white local muzzle law we have here in New Boone, North Kakalaki, that would make me and retired kindergarten teacher and old blood of the county, Otma, outlaws in our own home because of the Great Boone Food Line, massacre, you know, when we dared to ask a question of a social worker, asking them to identify ourselves. So under this new law, you know, technically we'd be outlaws, right? So, you know, Bonnie and Clyde 2.0 here in the high country. Or maybe he wants to talk about the big event this week that made national news, the most recent Boone synagogue massacre. And I want to say I was on the air live when this happened, but some kid waved a flag that these commie carpetbagger chicken swingers did not like. And they got the entire police force all motivated and everything, and they megaphoned this nationwide, and the Nazi hunters have been activated on this kid for waving a flag. So maybe he wants to talk about that. Or maybe, you know, he wants to talk about the local odds are still favoring that this big, big event was another what you doing, rabbi, false flag by some of the junior Maccabee Jews-only clubs over there at Appalachian State University's campus. You know, maybe they just want to show solidarity for Black History Month, you know. Or how about the Black History Month smackdown on white children? YouTube's full of it, right? It's Black History Month. Let's go beat up a small white kid like they do in South Africa. But anyway, or maybe he just wants to talk about the documents that have been declassified that everybody has, like Biden or Hunter Biden's laptop or all kinds of stuff, or maybe the new secret document about the UK and the US keeping everything secret about all the died suddenly COVID deaths or the people have been maimed. It's just like when they were cooking the intelligence for the Iraq war, you know, Downing Street 2.0. Or maybe he wants to talk about, you know, the wet or going fishing. So, Mr. John Kaminsky, how are you today and what do you want to talk about?
Hi, Frederick. That's a great monologue. I'm a holy terror now because I have a new computer. I had to do those other shows, but when I had a show, it's like I couldn't have any other notes open on the computer, and my printer didn't work. So I had to do that whole show without any notes. And this is now, I got more news than you just talked about.
Like all right.
Trump is going to visit East Palestine next week, and it's really nice to have somebody acting like an actual president.
Yes, and yeah, I hear that, you know, once Trump said that he was, or President Trump said that he was going to go out, suddenly FEMA said, well, maybe we can do something for you, you know, after telling them that they didn't qualify for an emergency management situation.
So Jimmy Carter's in hospice. He's 98, and that's, we don't want anybody in hospice, but if you got to be 98, that's probably a good place to be. Jim Stone says not to worry about the smoke, and that kind of surprised me because I watched the big Harry Vox thing today, and he's just said just the opposite, like the rest of us realizes that thing is a whole mess, and that blowing up the tank cars was the worst possible decision that they could have made. And listening to Harry makes me think all the time, because I think he's Jewish, that we're getting really the Jews have dominated the news, and they've also dominated the news about the Jews, like with Henry Mackow and Brother Nathaniel coming up with a really lot of authentic stuff. It's really my greatest fear is being realized that the Jews are controlling every aspect of the news, including about themselves, and that's not a good thing. That's a sign of totalitarianism. Harry had the best news, the best line I've heard all day, and it was liberalism is now about removing the genitals of 3-year-olds. And I think that's a great description of liberalism. Colonel McGregor says the Russians expect the war to last 30 months. I was sorry to hear that, but I really trust his briefings that he gives out with Judge Napolitano. And Jack Hart, who I've partnered with on a couple of things recently, did a nice job the other day with Gateway Pundit's list of food processing plants destroyed by fire in the past year or so. And there were, on the list, there was 95 major fires that have been conducted.
And no arrests. Have you heard of the first person getting arrested for any of those yet? I bet on this kid in Blowing or in Boone, North Kakalaki, that waved that evil flag, you know, in a public place. I bet they track him down before we see anybody track down for any of these food processing plants. That's my prediction.
Well, this has been going on since the Obama years, and before even, where it was around 2013, and it involves the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 that was modified by Obama, where it became permissible, as if they needed permission, to lie to the public. Previously to that, they could only lie to foreign countries through, like, Radio Free Europe. But they modified it so they could make false statements to the American people. And ever since then, we've had the very recognizable phenomenon that the government law enforcement apparatus doesn't solve crimes, it commits them.
And covers them up.
and we've had such a string of school shootings, of towns incinerated from the air. Now they're being incinerated by train track. And it's like at some point during the Obama administration, it became open season on America. And I think that was probably when the billionaires running the government decided that if they could get away with 9/11, as such a false job they did on that, that they could get away with anything. And that is why we have had COVID today, and that's why we have now the government committing all-out war on the citizenry of the United States.
And I think a lot of that chutzpah comes from the game theory models that you and I have talked about in the past from Dr. Robert J. Ammon in Israel, who did the whole thing on, you know, media analysis in America and, you know, where are your key tipping points, and you know, seizing all of those media outlets to create their giant megaphone and saying, yes, we can sell this. You know, yeah. And Jeff Gates did that wonderful book on it, and you have written, you know, for years on the subject of this. And, you know, so this is where we are, and you know, this media warfare is, you know, even your local papers. I have just been amazed that this outfit here, Adams Publishing, owned, you know, the Watauga Democrat, came in after 9/11, bought up all these struggling local newspapers and turned them into these Trotskyite propaganda outlets. I mean, it's just, this is stuff that Trotsky would blush at, right?
Oh dear. It's yeah, it's like, it that takes me back really a long time, because we've both been at this a long time, but before there was an internet, or just as it was arriving in around 1990, I was doing a newspaper in New Hampshire, and I wound up in New York City to, at the time, it was a cutting edge media watchdog operation, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. This is before I realized it was another left-wing dog and pony show. But at the time, it was doing serious Norman Solomon and Martin Lee doing serious criticism of the New York Times and stuff like that. And that began a journey for me, which I'm sure you'll recognize because you've made much the same journey, where it's like you travel down stories of these atrocities and you come up with the same culprits all the time. And of course, it does. You don't have to go very far before the same culprits keep appearing in sight. And now it's like they are in control of absolutely everything. And the public isn't, is the public is stupider than it was 30 or 20 years ago. Where either the Gulf War or later on 9/11, there was quite an outpouring of skepticism and a real opposition to what the media was presenting. That is not as I don't think that's as intensive today, even though there are a lot of great people on a case trying to point out the flaws. But I think that the percentage has lowered, and that especially because of the jab. People who've taken the jab don't want to hear about the jab. They don't want to hear about people dropping dead. They don't want to hear about all of these diseases that people are coming down with. And it's like once you pass a certain number of jabs, there's no escaping from them. Whereas when 9/11 happened, there was really a blossoming of skepticism in all sorts of different directions that eventually was overcome by paid government opponents who organized all these conferences where you weren't allowed to talk about Israel, and that's why the 9/11 skeptics movement died.
Right. I mean, you know, it's, you're sitting there going, they are the most likely suspects. All the evidence points to them, but it's like, oh, you're an anti-Semite. It's like, no, this is just kind of how science works. You know, who had the motive? Who had the means? Who had the opportunity? Who benefited? You know, who had the plan? You know, who had 200 of them arrested on 9/11, you know? And, but yeah, this was the reality of just how much power these people have acquired, and not only in the United States, but around the world. This is the, you know, the global slime mold infestation of the media, and it's all in lockstep. And, you know, you were there. And again, I, for those, you know, who don't know that, you know, Mr. John Kaminsky and I go way back, but before I ever, you know, met him, and I was completely talked to him, I was completely starstruck, because, you know, this was one of the guys, the few people that, you know, continued to try to tell the truth in the media and paid the price for this. And you know, you saw these good people out there that were really good journalists that, you know, had respectable careers and were actually making money, you know, in journalism. It's like, talk about magic, right? Making money on writing. And they were doing it. And suddenly, you know, 9/11, the third rail, you can't talk about it, but it's important. And then, you know, the talking about Israel as the most likely suspect and how it fits into the, you know, short range and long range geopolitical strategies. And he was out there doing this, and you know, you kept me sane because you're just in this Kafkaesque nightmare where everybody's telling the same lie. You know, it's physically impossible. So it's kind of like some bad Solomon Ash experiment. And you were this person out there that, you know, was still publishing and trying to get to the truth of the matter. And, you know, just seeing you get, you know, shot at like I was getting taken out, you know, it's like, okay, somebody else is seeing it too, so I'm good. So just once again, thank you for all of that great writing, especially in those early days of the great troll wars after 9/11. So thank you for that.
In 2003 or four, when I first got the idea to say 9/11 was a hoax and there weren't too many other people doing it, who do I want to say? Bruce Campbell was one, and I'm forgetting his name. He's dead now. Anyway, one of these days I'll remember it. There was a time when I could Google my name, and I had 7.5 million hits, and I had like the first 13 pages of references to my name. Now you can't hardly find me on Google at all, because you know all of those people have been erased a long time ago, and so we've actually lost ground because we didn't win that argument. And of course, the reason we didn't win that argument was because we were not allowed to talk about Jews. And the reason we were not allowed to talk about Jews is because they own and still own all the media outlets.
But what? And also, you know, we had now know about that wonderful Unit 269, you know, operation to blackmail all of our leadership in this country with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and all that. So you know, now you know why you came to these people, your representatives, and say, this is cold, hard reality. This is physics. And they wouldn't give you the time of day is because they had some Mossad folder on them that's, you know, we will destroy you if you dare listen to this guy, right? And so that was also what we were up against, and now all of that's being exposed.
So now, today, we have many more colossal catastrophes than we ever did then. There was only two or three then, or it seemed like there was only two or three major ones. Now we got a new one every day. Where you can't really focus on anything because they invent a new thing to come out with, like, be it balloons or slashing pipelines, or it's just all of these crises, and there is no help from authorities to try to establish what is right and prosecute what is wrong, because the authorities are now complicit in all of these things, and so is the media. So we can't get any help from the media because the media is paid off to tell us about where we should get our next COVID shot. And that leads us to the doctors, who were always, in my mind, regarded as the most sacrosanct, honorable members of society, and they've conspired in killing people.
I know you find it. Oh my God, they really are white coats of Baphomet. We thought that was a conspiracy theory. It's like, no, these people total. You know, some of that. I will say, I work with some. You know, it's kind of like saying a good policeman, right? A good doctor. Since I do a lot of, we do a lot of elder care here, I'm constantly going to doctors. And there are a lot of really good-hearted people that have a lot of bad information, but they're trying to do the right thing. And then you have the, you know, what I would think the majority now have nothing but contempt for the average person and thinks it would be much better off if we had a big calling and just leave the elite on the planet. This is the mindset of these people. They are total demigods. They really think they are gods on earth, and we are just irritants to them. That here, you know, we have to, you know, they have to fix our problems all the time, right? So it's just amazing how much contempt and pathological contempt, to the point that, you know, we will conduct genocide against the globe because we despise you people so much. Yeah, that's kind of hard to get your head around, right?
Who just said that the other day? Some guy at Yale said we got to start killing the old people. Oh, the Japanese guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of the thing, is the useless eaters. Anybody ever, you know, now, you know, was it Logan's Run when it was 30? And, you know, all these countries are trying to, you know, bring in euthanasia. You know, anybody over 65, you know, is a drain on society, right?
You know what they want to get rid of the old people is? When you've been through a scam 7 or 8 times, you can see it coming. And people who are in their 70s, I know most of the people I hang out with are in their 70s now. And we've seen the iterations of the same thing time after time. The real lesson of 9/11 was that it opened a window into American history where this has been going on much longer than most people realize. You know, to listen to Mike Gatty, it started with Alexander Hamilton in the beginning of the Republic, and it's never really changed since then. And it's still going on worse than ever. But it's the old people who realize that. And it's because you have to go through these things 6 or 7 times and you say, oh, my God, it's happening again.
Exactly. You see those long-term patterns. So you're listening to the Blackbird Zion's Saturday Snack Shack. And tonight we have with us Mr. John Kaminsky. And after the break here on Republic Broadcasting Network, you're listening because you can handle the truth. We're going to be opening up the phone line. So go ahead and take the number down. It's 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Or if you need to, you can call the 1-800 number, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. And also, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, if you want to join us in the chat room this evening, you can come out to the Trading Post chat room, where we have the hottest news and the dankest memes on the interwebs. And if you want to get in a knife fight, though, we just send you go someplace else. But that chat room is bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingposts, plural, .chitango.com. And so, Mr. John Kaminsky, real quick, just continue where you were going with that as we go into the break.
We gotta do things that we're not willing to do. We can't trust the authorities. We need to establish networks, which I have a network, but nobody lives near me. They're all listed all over the world. But we need to not stop what we're doing, and we need to name the Jew, because that is the key to unlocking this whole trap that we're in.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, if you can't, you know, name the person that is doing this to you, you know, you're never going to win. And like I always say, you know, I didn't go looking for a fight, but here we are, right? And so if you're going to play, you got to play to win. And, you know, you realize just how deep this rabbit hole goes. As, you know, like you said, you know, I started with 9/11, and then that led me to this episode and this episode and this episode. And suddenly you see all of these patterns, you know, connecting, and you realize this is so far beyond geopolitics or nationalism. This is an existential battle. These people want you gone. They want their new world order, and there's no place in it for you and people like John Kaminsky, right, Mr. John?
Well, my last piece, Nightmare Reality, mass madness overtakes a misguided population unprepared to deal with the insanity of its leaders.
And the corruption of their leaders. You know, that's the other thing, is this level of corruption where, you know, I was brought up thinking our leaders are the best of the best. And you would have a few bad apples, but it's like, no, this system has, you know, completely been infected at every aspect by this slime mold infiltration. So, and there it is. So anyway, you're listening to the Saturday Snack Shack with Blackbird 9. Tonight's guest is Mr. John Kaminsky, and we'll be back right after these messages.
So bad to have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and whey. We'll be right back.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Now, taters never did taste good, but chicken on the plate. But I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater anyway.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack here on RBN and Speak Free Radio and Spreaker. And I can't stress enough how important it is that if you still have means, a lot of us have lost our means by the powers that should not be, but if you still have means, please, please, please donate to networks like Republic Broadcasting, because we are up against the most sophisticated megaphone that has ever been created in human history. And we've got the truth on our side, but the truth does do you a lot of good if nobody can hear you. So please support, you know, RBN as best you can. And we just really appreciate everything they do, especially, you know, the producers and everybody. Y'all do a great job, and we really appreciate you. And it's an honor to be on the network and talking tonight with Mr. John Kaminsky. And one of the things I've been dying to ask you about is, you know, what is your take on the latest Senate hearings under Congress critter Jim Jordan of both the Twitter executives of color and the weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI working with, you know, social media organizations? You know, so what's your take on that real quick? And then we'll get to some of these phone calls that are queuing up out here.
It's part of the greater plan of the Jews to eliminate the white race for the purpose of control. And this this really I call it inexplicable, but a lot of people like it. This promotion of blacks as the superior race. I mean, what did the blacks ever invent that compares with the white society that was created by the Germans and the British and that has given the earth its modernity at this point? I mean, just take a look at the cities of Africa. They still can't support themselves.
Right. They've never had a structure over two stories, you know, but yet they, you know, built the pyramids, right?
They have cities in Africa that have a million people that don't have electricity.
Right. They still eat each other and, you know, and enslave each other. That's one of those things you're not allowed to talk about on Mockingbird. So, Mr. Producer, let's have Mr. Andy in Texas and see what he wants to talk about tonight. Mr. Andy, are you
there? Oh, no, Andy, no, thank you so much, gentlemen. No, first and foremost, I want to know if I can get a beer with my nachos at the Snack Shack.
Of course.
Okay, cool. And you don't have microbrews, do you?
Oh, man, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, hey, no. So, hey, gentlemen. So, no, give us a little bit of thought. I mean, okay, so I'm not knocking your show or anybody's show. We're alternative media. We're trying to get the truth out there. Inadvertently, when we give out the truth, now think about this. So let's just use the January 6th for an example. All these people are being crucified and stuff. Your mainstream media is not telling you anything about it, right?
Right.
So, yeah, no. So we tell you all about what's happening to the January 6th people. Guess what we just did? We scared a lot of people out there because they didn't tell us on the mainstream that these people were being busted for pretty much spitting on the sidewalk. So, but we told them. We, on the alternative media, we told everybody, these petty anti-thieves, look, it was an insurrection, there was no weapons. What? The aggressors were the cops. What? Some chick got killed, or did she? That's a whole other story. I'm not going there. But the thing is that we advanced their program. They're using us. Because we're giving them, every time we tell them the scenario of how it's going to come out, look at the January 6th people. So look, for example, Sunday, tomorrow, they're going to do Rage Against War. It's Gerald Celente. I think Ron Paul is there. And on that note, Ron Paul is their protection. Because Ron Paul had a very large following last time. He was much better than most flipping candidates. He had a large following, so if something happens to Ron Paul, people are going to get really pissed off. But Gerald Celente, he's known, but he's not there. They're going to have this thing if something like January 6th could happen again. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to report on the petty anti stuff. For example, I forget who it was, but they were dancing in the Lincoln Memorial, and they got arrested for dancing in the memorial. If it hadn't been for alternative media showing the petty things that they got, that scares people. I don't know. Am I going somewhere too far? Am I
point. So, Mr. Kaminsky, you know, devil's advocate here. Are we doing more harm than good by telling the truth?
Well, no. Truth needs to be truth, no doubt. Truth needs to be truth.
It's a good point, and it didn't get quite enough traction because I've been recently browbeaten by a friend to say that it's the structure of the law. It's the fact that we're under this martial law that we renew every 2 years that allows these people to be arrested for insurrection where there's really no evidence that that really happened. And there's the real thing that we presented that the public hasn't grasped onto was that the whole thing was set up by Pelosi and the Democrats and with the complicity of Stuart Rhodes and his organization, where they actually led the so-called insurrection, but it was the people who were just standing by there to protest the election who were arrested and are still being held in solitary confinement 2 years later. And it's like that has never been presented in the press and the mainstream media, and it's a total farce to begin with, but so is law enforcement at this point, where we had Trump harassed all through his first term for something that he didn't do, but Biden basically has done, and nobody has said a thing about Biden and his son Hunter doing the same thing that Trump was harassed for 2 years of doing. So it's all twisted out of control, but it stems from this reestablishment every 2 years of a state of martial law, which has gone ever since the Civil War, where they are able to abrogate their own laws and create these situations where people are charged with things that aren't really crimes at all. They were arrested for their patriotism, and that's still going on.
Andy, what do you say? All right, did we lose Andy?
It's a good question, Andy.
Yeah, great question, because you know, I always go back to, are you know, the things organic, are they synthetic, and that you know we have to be careful that we don't fall into these traps like January 6th, et cetera. And also, I think, you know, Charlottesville was like the prototype for January 6th, and also the trucker strike, where, you know, these are the Marxist games that they play, is suck you in and then demonize you, right? Exactly. So, Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. Joe in Florida? Mr. Joe, are you there?
Hey, Blackbird. Hey, John.
Hey,
good to hear you guys.
I was about to give up on you there. Happy Saturday.
Thanks for taking my call. Good to hear you again. And also, John. Hey, listen, you know, I try to be the eternal optimist. So I see things, and to me, I try to make it the positive. I, as a Christian, right, I have hope. So I look at it, all these things, and thanks so much for delineating all the control that Jews have over our media. So then when something happens, then they control the conversation after their attack on us. The idea, Dr. E. Michael Jones, the genius, the great Dr. E. Michael Jones, has this theory, which I love, and it goes like this. So the Holocaust narrative is the founding myth of the American empire. Okay, we know all the holes, and I sometimes refer to it as the hoax of cost, right? So, but lately, even that has been falling apart. So what I look at it, I say, the fact that we know that Jews are aware that their time is running out, right? Their control, their miscreant, devious, diabolical attacks from 9/11 up until today, that it's beginning to end, their power is beginning to end, is because we see the American empire is literally collapsing around us. I mean, little things to big things. You can't go to an airport without a disaster. You can't have a train derailment every 10 minutes now going in this country. Even little things like customer service in stores, which seems like one-tenth of the people that used to work there and the people that they hired are totally incompetent. These little things, it means that our empire is collapsing. It's ugly. But the point is, to me, it's the indicator that Jewish power in this country is coming down. What do you think?
Mr. John, what do you say?
I think that's why they're trying to start World War III, to keep our minds off all that stuff. We're having one crisis after another to distract us from the incompetence that's been going on for such a long time. And it doesn't seem to be an adequate force to stop them. I mean, if Biden can blow up that pipeline in the Baltic Sea, I mean, that's an act of war, and it's been passed over by the public.
Exactly. And you know, thanks for mentioning Ukraine. The idea is, I'm actually, again, call me the eternal optimist, I see Putin's victory is imminent, okay? It might even happen very soon, okay? He has a speech, I think, coming on February 21st, and it looks like they're lined up to do the big move. These Ukrainian thugs, they're run by a Jewish thug war criminal. How is it, by the way, in a country which is 80%+ Christian, that the Jewish population of, I think it's half of 1%, There's something like 100,000 Jews in a country of 80 million people. How is it that the president, the prime minister, and the defense minister are all Jewish in that country, right? But these people are going to be defeated shortly, and that's another great sign, because then the American empire is totally collapsing. How much money have we invested, and NATO and our puppets invested, in this moral crusade against Russia? They're going to be totally defeated, and they're going to be shown as the frauds that they've always been. That's my take.
Right. Mr. John?
General Milley said today, he made this bold prediction that the war is just about over. The United States has won, and we have nothing we have nothing to worry about. And that's the kind of reality that our leadership has presented to us in my lifetime. It's the same thing. It's like it's night is day, wrong is right, and you just listen to the government and everything will be fine. And now there are serious laws allowing them to do that, and they can take us away if we don't believe the lies they're trying to tell us. So now we're in a situation where every person in this country needs to rise up and assail every public official he can to tell them to stop perpetrating this scam on us that has killed so many people outright.
Yeah, great call, Mr. Jay.
Let me just say that the last thing, though, again, ever hopeful, right? I think it's already started. We see in Palestine what's happening there. The smug elites are being called. They're pretending that they're representing people, and yet this is an environmental disaster which is massive. And the media didn't report it until it was almost 2 weeks over. And now, all of a sudden, they're responding. I think Palestine is the beginning of where people start saying, wait a minute, these people are not representing us. We have to get rid of them. I'm hopeful. I'm calling it a Palestinian uprising.
All right. I love that. All right. Good call. Thank you. One of the things I saw that just was so over the top was the governor of Ohio coming out and basically saying, we don't see any problem here, short term, long term, everything's fine. We'll continue to monitor the situation. And now here's my guy in a white coat to come out and tell you what I just said again. And the people, are coughing up blood, and they're telling them that there's nothing to see here, right? So anyway, Mr. Producer, can you bring in Mr. Lark from Texas?
Oh, my.
Mr. Lark, are you there, sir? Hello? Lark?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Good to hear you, sir. How are you today?
All right. Good to hear you all. Not that guy, right, John?
Hi, Lark. Before you do that, I just wanted to say, when Joe Biden denied the people of East Palestine federal assistance because he didn't think the situation was serious enough, that is the point where law enforcement should have stepped in and removed him from office for totally failing the American people.
Oh,
so,
wow.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just called to remind y'all that the fact is the Department of Defense itself has been weaponized.
That's true.
Did we lose Lark?
And they've just gotten Lark, yeah.
Oh, man, Lark, come back.
Hello?
Oh, man, that was going to be good. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing about, exposing that everything has been weaponized against us to push an agenda that, has as part of its plan to destroy the nation of the United States so it can be replaced with just a client state of the New World Order. So, Lark, are you back? Okay, well, let's go to Mr. J in L.A., and maybe Lark can call back in with his question. So, Lark, call back. So, Mr. J in L.A.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I disagree with the previous caller who said that things are starting to wake up. I think everything's going according to their plan. There's probably some bumps, but, I mean, these guys have hit. They turned a fentanyl addict into a saint. They've murdered people in front of our eyes, and no one does a thing. I think there's nothing that's going against them right now. They could sacrifice babies in front of our eyes, and people will find a way to justify it. That's number one. Number two is it's 1/10 of 1% the Jews are in Ukraine. 1/10 of 1%, and they run it. But what I wanted to ask you guys was, is there some sort of, it's really hard to get an entryway into people when I'm talking about this stuff with them, because it's just so, everything is so taboo when it comes to these things. Some people say to start with Building 7 and 9/11 as just sort of like an elevator pitch to try to get into people's minds. I was curious how you guys deal with that when you're talking to newbies or people who just really can't handle it, or do you just walk away and say you're a hopeless cause?
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. You're hopeless, Mr. Yeah, pretty John, much. What do you say?
I offend them as profoundly as possible, and I challenge them, their manhood or their womanhood or their integrity, I alienate a whole lot of people, but they remember me, and they remember
Jane, you ignorant slut.
So,
but is there like an elevator pitch version? Is there like a, you know, a 101?
Right, if you could write it on a matchbook, what's your truth on a matchbook, right?
Yes.
What's the elevator pitch? So, John, what's your elevator pitch for the truth movement?
That our whole world has been destroyed because we were unable to confront the Jews. And if you don't realize that, you don't realize anything.
Oh, man. That would...
The problem is when you say that, they sign you off. You know?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But the minute you say that phrase, and I completely agree, but the minute you say that, they have you with a Hitler mustache, and they're calling the cops on you, you know?
Exactly. That's when you say Hitler was the good guy, and Germany was destroyed by three Jewish countries, Britain, the United States, and the Soviet Union.
Wow. Here, you were talking about the percentage that controls Ukraine. After 9/11, we had about 200 chicken swingers with big bags of money come into little Watauga County, North Kakalaki, to make it their world. And they bought the university, they bought the media, they bought the hospital, they bought the education, they bought everything with all those bags of money. And now, you know, they completely run this town. This is Meyer Lansky territory where, you know, they have, you know, the police here, you know, basically is their private security detail and buying up all the elections. And so now a person like myself can get arrested for asking somebody where they're from. So that's the status of this area. And, you know, it was 200 people and a few billion dollars. But if you could make money out of thin air, it doesn't matter. But that's what they've been able to do with that much money, you know, with just 200 or so organized Marxists. These people are complete Jewish supremacist zealots that see that they're doing God's work to tikkun olam, you know, this our backwards community up here. And that's the mindset of these people, and they're doing a great job of it. So anything else, Mr. Jay?
But that's happened to the whole country, Frederick. I just wanted to say that. That's happening everywhere.
And that's the pattern I try to point out to people is, like, look at your own community, especially if you're below the Mason-Dixon line, because after 9/11, you all had about 200, trained Marxists move into your area with bucket money and setting up all these NGO groups that are all feeding off of each other, being run out of these synagogues and these corrupt churches especially. And this is the pillars of power they seized, and they just basically bought the country in 20 years. So, Jay, what do you say? Did we lose Jay? I guess so. Okay, Mr. Lark, are you back? Let's bring Lark in. Okay. Well, let's just go back. So, John, what projects are you working on now that we need to tell everybody about?
I just want to say the Department of Defense got locked twice tonight. I wanted to mention Todd Callender. He's a terrific guy doing a lot of good stuff. But he made the point the other day that if this was not a project of the Jewish pharmaceutical companies with King Albert Bourla, this was a project of the Department of Defense, who told those Jewish pharmaceutical companies what to do and how to kill the population because they wanted that to happen. And for Todd Callender to do that, he's put himself at tremendous risk. But that's something we all need. We have needed to understand this for 20 years at least, that it's the government that is committing all these crimes against us to keep themselves in power. And until we realize that, we're not going to have any solutions to anything.
Exactly. And yeah, this is, you know, the existential crisis that we're under. It's, you know, we are at war and, you know, we need to get at a war footing, but it's a different kind of war that's being waged across us, you know, against us. And that's what's so hard for people to get their heads around. But, you know, it's writers like you that can connect the dots for people to say, you know, see this happening over here, and you see this happening over here, and you see this happening over here. You know, this is all connected. And but the, you know, the saddest part is the children are growing up in this dystopia thinking it's normal. And that's the wickedness of cultural Marxism, that, you know, the next generation, these kids at, you know, the university that, you know, were born after 9/11, they never knew that, you know, white homogeneous high trust America existed. Right. You know, all they've seen is this, you know, dystopian hellscape of diversity that, you know, the boomers put on them. And I'm like, okay, that's me. And we, you know, this is not how it was supposed to play out, but this is where we are. So
if we had to do one thing, Frederick, for to suggest to people, we need to, I don't want to use the word attack, but I want to say the word assail in a serious way. Our local officials and our local newspapers need to be blasted for their complicity in poisoning the population. And I, sorry about that.
That's not my bump music.
That's fine. And our local officials need to be blasted for their complicity in making their top priority trying to get their federal money so they can get reelected, when in fact they should be defending the people they represent against a federal government that has demonstrably trying to kill them.
Right. And yeah, that's one of the things, you know, speaking for Mr. Lark, who's not here to speak for himself, but, you know, he always talks about, you know, these people, you know, the communitarian model is they're not there to represent you. They're there to impose policy that has been decided by central command, basically. Right. They're just, you know, middle management to, you know, enforce a new agenda. And, you know, they care less about representing URI's interests.
God, that's amazing. Locke didn't even get to speak, and he still got his communitarian message across.
I know. At least, I hope I did him righteous there. You know, he was a he's another one of those guys that I learned a lot from over the years, you know, on this model of, you know, cultural Marxism and communitarianism. And, you know, to watch it just play out in your own hometown, yeah. And it's like watching a train wreck. You know, there's not a dang thing I can do about this except bear fair witness. Yeah, I see this. Is anybody else seeing it, right?
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the train wreck where they saw the brakes were sparking 20 miles down the line and nobody stopped it.
Yes, how, you know, convenient, all these, you know, high-tech automated safety systems, and, you know, then you find out who's owning the trains, and it's like, oh, BlackRock just has to be, you know, the major, you know, owner of stock on this, and this, and the part of the thing. Remember when we started connecting the dots of who owned the security companies at all these airports that 9/11 happened in, right? You start to see a pattern, right?
Well, thank you very much, Frederick, for dragging me into this.
And final words before we have to call it in. We're already out of time, so last words.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, Mr. John Kaminsky, superstar. Thank you so much, and hurricane survivor. Anyway, you've been listening to Blackburn 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Until next time, I'll see you all at the rendezvous.
Trusted long-term storable food company. We have a solution. To providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.